This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's October 13th, episode 1018, brought to you by our friends at Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm still a little bit under the weather, Glenn. Sorry, I'm a little stuffy, but I can make it. I can do it. Just start coughing.
I really was expecting a text this morning. Oh, I'm too sick. After Friday, where we heard you trying to get through really bad ads, that was tough.
Well, if you're expecting me to call in sick, if you could text me and let me know so that gives me the green light to call in sick, then I totally will. Otherwise, I'm kind of one of those people that is going to come help for hell or high water. If I call in sick, it's for real. But
well, I'll try not to make you laugh today, okay?
No laughing. Okay. No laughing at all. I did find a news story that kind of made me laugh this morning. And it is the article headline is, "Escaped horse prompts 911 calls in Claiborne County." I don't know where Claiborne County is, but apparently a lone horse was walking through Claiborne County, prompting calls to the county's emergency dispatch, and one dispatcher really worked hard to try to catch the gelding. So apparently they started calling around 8 a.m., and the dispatcher got a call. This is small town. The dispatcher got a call from his mama telling him that she saw a horse running loose, and so he got off work. And he went to head out to find the horse, which was spotted Route 65 near the state line and made its way down County Road 49. And so he tried for like 45 minutes to try to find and catch the horse. Well, it turns out later on, apparently everybody in Claiborne County saw the loose horse and called the 911 and let everybody know. And I find this hilarious that basically, it came to a head when the owner apparently went out and caught his own loose horse. And it says that to wrap it up, in this case, the officer received a call before 10 a.m. from someone claiming to be the owner who said that he or she had picked up the horse. Turner said the call was from a cell phone and was lost before the communication officer could identify the owner. So the last line of the story is, "We might try to call him back later." Wait a second. You got a loose horse and somebody's like, "Yeah, it's mine." And you don't even follow up on that after the whole entire Claiborne County officials are out looking for this horse. And it's like, "We might try to call him back later." I don't know.
That had
maybe,
to be
maybe
in
not.
Georgia or Tennessee. It had to be one of the two.
I got to Google Claiborne County right now because that just sounded so incredibly southern. Like, you know, whatever.
By the way, have you
stolen it? We don't know.
We're going to see this on an episode of Southern Justice. Have you started watching that new show yet, Southern Justice?
I haven't, but you were so close. Claiborne County is in Alabama, baby.
There you go.
There you go. Population of 14,000.
I thought about you. You got to watch Southern Justice. Just tape it, because you're going to laugh having grown up in Georgia. You really are.
That is Southern Justice. I'll have to look it up.
It's a cops show where they follow the cops. It's a typical cops show, only it is North Carolina, it is Tennessee, it is Southern in the mountains of Appalachia. And let me tell you, they had all the stereotypes built into this show. Every one of them is built into this show, including Bubba, the 300-pound sheriff deputy.
No.
Hoppy.
Yes, his name's Hoppy.
Hoppy.
Get it right.
Yes, his name is Hoppy. I call him Bubba. But his name's Hoppy. And it just everything is built into this show. Every stereotype you grew up with is there.
Does he ever say, "We're going to get them Duke boys"?
I'm telling you, every stereotype is in this show. Every saying from the South that you've ever heard is in this show. It is so. It's very sad because every cop show is sad, but it's just funny seeing these guys.
Well, they say they're stereotypes for a reason, Glenn. They're probably not faking it.
Well, let me tell you, old Hoppy ain't going to be chasing anybody down in a foot race. Oh, man, you got to watch it. It's funny.
All right, well, I'll check it out. Jennifer, what's on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday Edition, autumn is in the air, along with voice-robbing cold viruses and copious amounts of ragweed pollen. So let us apologize in advance for any coughing, sneezing, tissue rustling, or accidentally still on mute moments that are likely to occur in the next 90 minutes. Moving on, Sue Copeland of RibbonRecycling.com is here, and with another option, and she's got another option for those of you who are wondering what to do with your big box of leftover ribbons, or if you've got the query, how do I find ribbons for my event? She will solve them both. And leading us out of the least trusted day of the week, the wacky world of Horse Nation. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Well, my daily whinny. My daily whinny goes to your husband, Chad. And it goes to your husband, Chad, because over the weekend I went to see an air show. By the way, it probably was one of the coolest venues for an air show, Daytona Beach. And it was they had all the flying happened just right off the coast over the water. So that was really cool. I mean, it was neat to see it that way. But it was about 95 degrees and we were out there for 7 hours in the blazing sun. So that was that. I got a little toasty. But I got to give it to Ed. The Thunderbirds were there, which is the Air Force, their acrobatic team. And, they fly F-16s, I think, same as your husband does. And, my God, the reason I'm giving it to your husband is anybody that can do what they do is amazing. It's just amazing to watch what they do and to fly 2 feet from each other in formation like that. It takes nerves of steel. So I got to give it to your husband. I know sometimes – you know, when you're sick of him and he's being a pain in the butt or you know, he's a little antsy about something, just, think about what his job is every day. My God, that's amazing.
You know, I actually have a hard time thinking about what his job is because if I think about it too hard, I get nervous.
Yeah.
So I try not to think about it, but no, I think. Yeah. It's really cool, though. But did you see, was the, because we have that same air show here. Did you see the guy in the Red Bull airplane?
Yes.
Okay, well, that is death-defying and insane. That guy's crazy.
There were a bunch of aerobatic pilots, which I could have probably done with about three less of that. This air show went on for 4.5 hours.
Yeah,
so a few less acrobatic pilots would have been great. But there was a guy in, and all these acrobatic pilots went out with their planes and stuff and did their thing. And it was impressive, you know, but after about the fifth one, it got to be the same. And then this biplane comes out. We're thinking, oh, God, he's going to do the same thing. And the biplane starts doing this. And then all of a sudden, he turns up and nobody realized he had a jet engine underneath it. This biplane. And he just takes off. That was pretty cool, watching a biplane with a jet engine strapped to the belly. you know, that was pretty neat. And, of course, they had the skydivers and all of that stuff. But one really cool thing they did have, I got to tell you about, is because we were on the ocean, they had a cigarette boat there, one of the jet boats, and came up from Miami. And he did his thing going about 150 miles an hour on the water off the coast. What was really cool is they had two World War II fighter planes that were about 5 feet off the ocean behind him, trailing him.
Oh, my gosh.
That was pretty neat to see. And the fact that they get those planes geared down so slow to actually, you know, keep up with one of the cigarette boats was cool. That was really neat to see. I'd never seen anything like that before. They were so close to him that they were getting wake off of his prop. Was actually hitting the plane. That was pretty cool.
Now, doesn't that just make you feel proud to be an American when you go and watch stuff like that? That is so incredibly impressive with the people that are like guarding our country. It's just amazing, and it makes you, it fills you full of national pride. You know, I love it.
Well, I wouldn't want to be somebody meeting up with your husband in a little airplane that is on the enemy side. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no kidding. Me neither.
They're not going to do very well.
No.
Very, very impressive. All right, your turn.
All right, I want Jennifer, can you do a little bit of math for me right now and find, never mind, I got it. Because I wanted to know what 2.19 meters was in feet. And I'll tell you how many feet that is. That is 7'2". And why do we care about the math? Because four horses and riders. There was the Britain's Horse of the Year show on Saturday night, and not one, not two, not three, not four, but four riders cleared a 7'2" jump to complete the final round of jumping the infamous red wall at 7'2". So apparently there was five that were contesting it, and one of the guys that came up on this horse, Goodman Acobado, and he actually refused. So the other four, somebody has to go clear. Joe Clayton on Rock'em, Donald Whitaker on Quick Lara, Charlotte Flack, Ratina Khan is the horse, and David Simpson on Richie Rich. They all jumped the 7'2" obstacle. We got to post a picture of this because just watching this horse twist and conform over this 7'2" obstacle is just absolutely impressive. And to have four go clear, I mean, I have no desire, let me say this, to ride in a Poussance. But I can certainly respect the people who do. And it is insane how hard this jump is. So we're going to post a picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I can't believe that it was a four-way tie. Four-way tie.
Talk about trust. One, trusting your horse, and your horse trusting you, because your horse coming up to that jump can't see over. When you see the picture, you realize how high this is. And I don't know how any horse jumps this high. I really don't. It is so high.
It is. We've all seen the videos of the horses going up to it, and it's like, they look like they're going so slow. It's like canter, 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 jump, land. It's so crazy. And this is trust. Trust in 100%.
I was just wondering what the record Poussance is. Do we know? I just found it. Let's see here. The record stands at 7'10".
Holy smokes.
That's almost 18.
7'2" is nothing. I take back my daily Winnie, those weenies.
Screw those people.
7'2", that's peanuts.
It was set by a German rider by the name of Frank Sluchsack, who did it in June of 1991 and jumped to 7'10" in Belgium. So there you go.
Whew. Wow.
That's high.
Oh, my gosh. That's high. Can I just tell you what just happened here? Is my child has climbed out of his crib, walked down the hallway, and opened the door to the room. That is progress,
Luke.
People.
Hi, hi, baby Luke. I can't call him baby Luke anymore. He's like walking around now.
He's like tiny human Luke.
Is he trying to take the microphone again? He is a little ham. Keeps trying to steal the microphone.
No, his dog Zenyatta is laying on the floor, so he's playing with her. So we're good. We're good.
It has started.
Yeah, boy.
He is mobile.
Why is he up at 6:15? That's not okay.
Whole new challenge to your day, a mobile loop.
I know. So now we were talking before the show, Glenn, and back to horse talk. I don't understand. You told me that you spent the weekend clipping your horse in Florida.
Yeah, we had to give Scooter a trace clip because he's so hairy and it's still 95 degrees. He's got his full winter coat in, and it's like 95 degrees. Now, Jennifer's horse, Beaker, doesn't get that way too much because he's been here in Florida, so it's getting less and less each year. But, boy, the pony grew his coat in quick and was just getting overheated every day, so we had to clip already.
Wow.
We're going to need a second clip job in about February.
Wow. I've got a couple horses that are growing hair. Sorry. A couple horses that have started, and I think it's just the light. When the light gets shorter, the days get shorter, it seems like that's when they start kicking in because it's still 95 degrees here, too. And poor Duke, who came from Colorado, our listener Betty Faye lives up in a very cold place, Pueblo, Colorado. He's actually got a pretty full winter coat, but he is not, he doesn't work that hard. He gets ridden maybe once or twice a week. So I don't feel the need to clip him, but I'm just happy that Edward, the horse that's bleached out with his sun bleached coat, is now starting to turn black again because he's getting his winter coat.
I know that was a concern the last time you took him to a show.
Yeah, it's finally starting. Finally. He's still going to be kind of half and half, but at least the back half of him is turning black again.
He'll be half and half. We did get, I had two listeners last week. It's funny this came up on the show this morning because I had two listeners last week ask us about the clippers. Remember, we had bought new clippers last year. We talked about them on the show. And people were looking to buy clippers, and they were asking about which ones they were. They were the Andis AGC two-speed professional horse clippers.
Andis
AGC.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yep, Andis AGC. And they're smaller and lighter weight than those big clunky ones. But they works really well for body clipping and stuff. So, yeah, Andis AGC was what they were, in case anybody's looking for that answer. That was it.
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer had a chance over the weekend while we went to the air show with my brother. She went to see a movie. So, Jennifer, you went to see The Judge, which I didn't want to see because it just looked like a whole bunch of family arguing, and I just I couldn't handle it. So.
Yeah, I thought that too, Glenn. When we come from families that fought a lot, you don't want to watch families fight on TV.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. So I didn't go see it, but Jennifer is a huge Robert Downey Jr. fan, so she had to go see it. And she texted me from the theater as I'm sitting on the beach watching the air show. She texted me and said, "What did you say, Jennifer? The theater is packed."
I got there a couple of minutes late, so I got there just as the opening credits were rolling. And there were literally two seats left in the theater, the ones that are right in the front, right next to the screen so that you get a crink in your neck watching the movie. So that's the seat I got. Yep.
Love that seat.
Yeah.
Well, that surprises me because I don't think we've been to a movie here in Ocala that's been full. I mean, I don't think we've been to any movie that's been full. So, all right. So what'd you think? Was it worth it?
Yes, it was worth the $9 matinee admission fee.
Tell us about it.
It's a drama, and it's not really a courtroom drama in the, in the strictest sense of the words, but it's very much a drama. There's no happy ending. You leave the theater feeling a little bit upset in the stomach and scratching your head. So I really enjoyed it. Some of the reviews said that Robert Duvall and Robert Downey Jr. together were really, really good, and I agree they are very much the stars of the movie as far as their performances were concerned. Everything that they did together in the scenes, and that was most of the movie, was really, really good. I was looking forward to Billy Bob Thornton playing the bad guy, so to speak. A little bit disappointed. I love Billy Bob Thornton, but I would say the first two-thirds of the movie, I thought his performance was a little wooden. He didn't quite have that usual cocky Billy Bob Thornton swagger that I like so much. By the end of the movie, it got better, so I don't know what the deal was there. Those were probably the standout performances. It's getting a lot of slams from the reviews, especially from the print press. But the Rotten Tomatoes, people who saw the movie are giving it good reviews. People who review movies for a living on Rotten Tomatoes, less so. So if you like dramas,
now,
bring a tissue box and go see it.
Now, one of the things I used to do, Glenn, in when I did real radio, was on Monday I would have to break down the box office and, like, what movies came in number one and what earned what. Now, like, for the weekend, you know, and the weekends that the movies come out is always a big deal, and people follow, like, how much their movies are making and how successful they're going to be and blah, blah, blah. So, actually, The Judge came in at number five, earning just over $13 million. So that's pretty good, pretty respectable.
Apparently, most of it came from Ocala.
I know, right? It was all from the theater Jennifer was at. And that's the problem, is it came from Florida, but nobody goes out at night, and so they all only paid the matinee.
Right.
So they could have doubled
that.
That
is true, too.
That is true.
Yeah. They could have doubled that if they'd had
gone. Ocala's the opposite of anywhere else. Like, you can't go to the movies at night because they're packed. Here, you go to the movies at night because they're not packed. So that makes sense.
Number four was Annabelle. Number three, I don't know what Annabelle is.
It's a horror movie.
Whatever.
It's a horror movie.
Oh, yeah,
Halloween.
That's why I don't know what it is. Ugh.
It's a doll.
The
typical doll horror movie.
Oh, God. I can't watch scary movies. Number three, I actually do want to see because I love Steve Carell. It's Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, coming in at $19 million. Number two, which I didn't hear good reviews about this one, but it doesn't matter because I won't go see it either anyway because it has to do with vampires, is The Dracula Untold. People love scary movies.
Yeah, they do. I don't either.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one. You know how I feel about Halloween.
Like, yeah, I just think that the real world is scary enough. And, you know, I have to go out and close the chickens out or feed the horses carrots and it's dark. I don't need to be afraid of the dark. I'm afraid enough. So Dracula Untold came in at 23. And then Gone Girl, which is in its second week, was $26.8 million. So that's doing really well. And I do want to see that. I heard it was a really good book. Have you guys read it?
No, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, it's the Ben Affleck where his wife gets kidnapped or his wife disappears and they have murdered and they blame it on him. Like he says he didn't do it. Nothing? You don't watch commercials.
No,
no,
I don't. No.
That's the problem. I've seen the commercial.
No,
I put my hand up. I saw the commercial.
Okay, gotcha. Well, at least I'm not crazy. So Gone Girl was number one at the box office. So that was a little trip back to when I actually did real radio. Love it.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a movie that's going to do very well here. I don't know what kind of reviews it's going to get, but I will be going to see it next week. It's that new movie about World War II coming out with the tanks.
Matthew McConaughey? Wait.
No, it has Brad Pitt in it. It's Brad Pitt.
Fury.
That's right. Fury comes out the 17th, so this weekend. So I'll be out to see that. Definitely going to see that when it comes out.
You and Chad really need to hang out and watch movies together, and Jennifer and I'll go see relationship dramas.
There we go.
I love World War II tank movies, and there hasn't been a good World War II tank movie in a long time, so I'm ready.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You guys definitely need to go to movies together for sure. Hey, I found a list for you, Glenn. Now, you guys get to pick. Do you want the list of 21 ways that your horse thinks you're pretty cool, or do you want 20 ways that your horse hates you?
Oh, let's go with hates me.
Okay. 20 ways, actually, it's 20 ways to make your horse hate you. Okay.
Okay.
And this is from distractify.com. I'll post the link on our Facebook page because there's, of course, pictures and captions that go with it. Number one is try to bring them in from the field. 20 ways to make your horse hate you. You say the word treats, but the mysterious van outside the barn says vaccinations. I hate you. Number two is keep them away from their food at dinner time for any reason. I know we're having a nice trail ride, but it's 5:07. I need to be in my stall immediately.
I have a dog that feels that way also.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
20 ways to make your horse hate you is be a plastic bag. That is Edward all the way. Plastic bags are the worst things. Number four is be something that was not there yesterday. And number five is be anything. Just anything. Number six is tighten the girth. Wait, go ahead, Glenn.
I was just going to say it is amazing that that we get through any ride without dying. It is amazing.
Yeah, no kidding. Number six, tighten the girth. And the caption is, you're slowly going up one hole at a time. Are you trying to kill me? Number seven is deworm them. Ways to make your horse hate you is
right there. Yeah.
Oh, really? Is he bad about it?
Oh, God, you think? Oh, my gosh, the drama at deworming time.
Yeah. Ugh. It's like, and don't you hate it when you work so hard to get all that $9 tube down their throat and you depress it and they go, bleh, and they shut the whole freaking thing out?
I have actually seen Jennifer scraping it up off the ground to give it back to him. So
yes.
It's like, you do that, you're going to get dirty worm medicine.
5-second rule.
Absolutely.
That's right.
There's no way around it. If you'll eat, you know, grass off the ground, I can give you a little bit of dirt in here. Why not? Number eight is ask the dentist to come out. No horse likes the vet or the dentist. Number nine, ways to make your horse hate you, and this one's so true. Let your inexperienced friend ride them. That would be a pony ride. Number 10 is walk them past the grass without letting them eat any. I always thought about when you're running cross country, do they think they're just running on a big salad? Like, why am I galloping on a salad? Number 11 and 12 kind of go together. Make them walk when they want to run or make them walk when they want to stand still. Either way, they're going to be mad. Number 13, don't let them eat something that they clearly want, which is like, you know, could be anything from a treat in your pocket to a poisonous plant. They get irritated the same. Do your horses get jealous? Because the next two kind of go together, and it's give a treat to a different horse or pet a different horse.
I don't think they care so much about petting. They do care about treats. If one gets a treat and the other doesn't, if the pony sees that Beaker's getting a treat or anything in the opposite field, he comes running over to the gate. He does not like to be left out.
Oh, really? Yeah. I Edward gets fed breakfast, but all the horses get a big lunch with beet pulp and all this stuff, but Edward gets fed twice a day. So the problem is I go to feed him and everybody else knows it. So then I have to give a handful of grain to every single horse. Even though it's the tiniest little handful, they think they've eaten a whole meal. Because then they shut right up.
I got to say, when I see somebody else eating a Snickers, I really want one too. So I'm kind of with them on that.
That's a good point. I'll think about that. So if somebody just gave you a bite of a Snickers, you'd be okay.
Like on the boardwalk the other day, if you see somebody eating an ice cream cone and you're on the boardwalk at the beach, you're very jealous. You just want an ice cream cone. I mean, ice cream is one of those things that when you see somebody else eating it, you feel just like the horses do.
I kind of want ice cream right now. Does that mean you ate about 15 different ice cream cones on the beach at the air
show? You know what was ironic is I didn't have any ice cream while we were there.
Oh, that's terrible.
All these people eating ice cream. I know.
Another way to make your horse hate you is to rustle a plastic wrapper without giving them a peppermint. Mm-hmm. I call my horses. I just put a piece of plastic. Yeah, it's just mean. Ride them past their buddies that are in the field, turned out, and you're working them. And then number 20 is really sweet. Yeah, yeah, I get it. You love me. Give them a smooch on the nose. That'll melt their heart. So anyway, that's a list from Distractify. I'll post that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. 20 ways to make your horse hate you.
All right, very good. And I have another list for you later in the show, too, that should be fun. We'll get to. And we're going to take a break for Omega Alpha Equine. They're our sponsor for this half hour, and we're going to hear from them right now.
Thigh bone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, that Omega Alpha Equine, you can also find them on Facebook. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine. They're always posting some good stuff over there, so you can check them out there. Thank you to Omega Alpha for their continued support of Horses in the Morning. 4 years they've been with us, and we really appreciate their support. Well, Jennifer, you're going to lead the next one. We have, a little while ago, several of our listeners posted some creative things they did with ribbons. And, Jennifer, you found another person doing creative things with horse show ribbons?
Yes, I did. Sue Copeland has ribbonrecycling.com. And I came across Sue via one of Lynn Palm's Facebook pages. She had a picture there that tagged Ribbon Recycling in it, and I zipped over to her Facebook page. And it was just fascinating. Sue Copeland, welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you over here. Now, I came across you via Facebook. And tell folks exactly what Ribbon Recycling does.
Ribbon Recycling, we take donated ribbons from individuals and now horse associations such as Pony Club, USHJA, but mostly individuals, and we donate them to therapeutic programs. It used to be exclusively therapeutic riding programs, but we now work with other programs and hospitals. Texas Children's Hospital is one. We work with them through the Pin Oak Charity Horse Show, and gosh, there are so many applications for the ribbons. We work with autistic programs. We donate now. We get dog show ribbons as well, and we donate to rescue groups who use the ribbons on the cages of dogs that are to be adopted out. So many applications.
So are you a horse gal by nature, or did you get into this? How did you come across ribbons and go, wow, we need to recycle those?
I am a horse gal, and I ride with Peter Pletcher, who's in Magnolia, Texas, and have shown around the country. And what struck me at the larger shows, and actually you see it at the smaller shows as well, is you would see ribbons in the dirt at the end of a horse show or even during a horse show. And generally these were not firsts, seconds, or thirds, but rather the lower-level ribbons. And mm-hmm. I had to work real hard to get to those horse shows, so I thought, wow, what a waste, A, and B, I'm sure other people would treasure those ribbons. And so I am a former editor of Horse and Rider magazine, and I used my column in the magazine, which is called This Horse Life, to float the idea of, recycling ribbons to therapeutic riding programs. And mm-hmm. the idea sort of took off from there.
Cool. Now, what exactly do you do in this recycling process? Do you simply gather the ribbons together and redistribute them, or do you alter them in some way?
It depends on the group to whom we're donating. Some will take the ribbons in their natural state, as long as the ribbons are in good condition. Others prefer to have them what we call customized, in which we cut the lettering off the streamer, and then we put a sticker in it, and we put a ribbon recycling sticker on it. The group may have their own sticker that they want to put on it, and then you have a brand new ribbon. And because so many of the programs to whom we donate across North America have very little budget and not enough volunteers, we have started to do more and more of that. In fact, I'm working now with a therapeutic riding group here. We're going full circle, the Joyride Center, and they have many of their special riders are involved in a vocational training program, and they are now helping me sort and customize the ribbons for shipment.
Oh, cool. So if I am a group and I'm going to have an event and I would like to use ribbons from Ribbon Recycling, how does that work? Do I just give you a call on the phone? How does that all work?
You would go to our website, which is ribbonrecycling.com, and there is a tab for, you know, ribbon requests. There's also a tab if you want to donate ribbons, and you fill out a form, which I get via email, and then we will process the ribbon order.
And usually about how long does that take to process an order? So how far in advance would I want to contact you folks?
I would allow 6 weeks. Generally, I do most of it. Generally, I can do it faster than that, but it depends on what you're ordering. Some people want sets for, you know, so many firsts, seconds, thirds, et cetera. Others will take anything. So the less complicated orders I can ship out quickly. Those that require more work will take longer. So I generally would allow 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks, okay. And on your website, you mentioned something called a ribbon wrangler, which just sounds like something cool to do. What is a ribbon wrangler?
I came up with the idea because, quite frankly, needed help. And we learned that students are looking for service hours to have on their resumes and, you know, for getting into college. And so we now have some students across the country who are helping us customize ribbons and collect ribbons and then donate them in their geographical area, which I think is sort of the next natural genesis for ribbon recycling. It saves postage. People don't have to send the ribbons to me.
Right.
And
yeah.
You can donate locally and therefore pay it forward locally. So we have – that is happening around the country as people hear that they can earn service hours by ironing wrinkled ribbons and customizing ribbons. And we also are working with SIRE, which is a therapeutic riding program here, and they have a teen council, and they are connected with Joyride. I mean, it's a small community of therapeutic riding facilities, and the teen council girls help iron ribbons for me and also customize them. So,
hey, Sue, I got to tell you, this is one of those things where, you know, you floated the idea a couple of years ago, and never did you imagine your life would be waist deep in ribbons in a couple of years.
It is. That is a very accurate statement. The internet is a very powerful thing. I am like a fly on a racehorse at this point. The ribbons, it just has a life force of its own, and I just follow along.
One of those things, you're working at the editor of one of the biggest magazines in the horse world, and now you're up to your waist and used ribbons.
I imagine
that you're trying to control the ones you get in. We have some ribbons we could send you, but they're not in very good condition. So I imagine you really don't want mold and all that other stuff.
We don't. And when you think of who we're sending them to, my benchmark and what I tell people is, would you want that ribbon? Or would you hand that ribbon to a child?
Yeah.
If the answer is no, I can't do it either. So, if you know, some people, we still get some ribbons that are not in great repair. I think they understand if we can't use them that we'll have to dispose of them. I hate to do that, but if we can't distribute them, I mean, that's what we have to do. But I've gotten smarter as I've gone along, and I have learned to, you know, put in on the internet that we will take, or on the website that we will take ribbons in good repair, unwrinkled preferably, because we don't have that many people who can iron. And that has changed how they arrive now. People pack them more carefully rather than sticking them in a trash bag and shipping them in a box.
Has it gotten harder? I think that ribbon material has gotten a little weaker than it was 20 years ago, too. They're not as tough as they used to be. So it must have got, it's probably getting a little bit harder for you to find ones that you can tear apart without tearing, literally.
They're still in pretty good shape, and people, you know, the ribbons are like a diary, and a lot of people, you know, they can trace their lives, their horse lives, their dog show lives through these ribbons. Actually, right on the back, it's like a diary on the back.
I was going to say, how many write on the back? Because the Jennifer is about three quarters of her are not written on.
Well, all we have to do is put a label on the back of those, like the Jennifer could write.
Cover it up.
If it's to cover it up with a blank mailing label, we'll cover that up. But a lot of people, because they are so precious, we'll pack them so very carefully. And so the ribbons do come to us in good shape, and we can customize them. So, but it's, you know, it's beautiful to read. I feel like I am reading someone's diary, quite literally, when I get some of these boxes of ribbons.
Are you feeling guilty, Jennifer, about just throwing yours in a box and not laying them flat now? They're all curly and wrinkly and dirty.
Find a high school person to iron your ribbons and earn service
hours.
Well, see,
I did figure out how to iron ribbons, though, when I was younger, because they would get rolled up in a ball when I'd move, and then I'd get taken back out, and they'd be all crinkly. And after ruining half a dozen or so sixth-place ribbons, I did learn what temperature setting to use to iron out a ribbon.
Yes. there is a skill set required.
Yes,
so
there is.
To not burn the house down, you mean?
Yeah, not burn the house down.
Right.
Now, I see pictures on your website here. You used to ride. Do you still ride? You still compete yourself?
I still ride. I have not. I retired my hunter, with whom I rode with Peter, and actually donated him to a therapeutic riding center locally. It was either that or he would have just been the chief grass analyzer at our farm. And he has such a great brain that I thought he could bring joy to a lot of other people.
So you recycled your horse, too.
Yeah, I did. Well, he's not recycled. That sounds so not good. He is carrying wonderful people around, people with chronic illnesses and others with disabilities at Camp for All in Burton, Texas, and thriving. He's so happy. He wanted to keep working, and he couldn't keep jumping with me, so he's doing a great job, and actually his most important job to date right now.
Well, and I think that's
awesome.
Wonderful. I think the whole thing is wonderful. Obviously, it's a labor of love. You're not, like, making money doing this. So.
Oh, gosh, no. No. Yeah. And I also want to thank Julie Beaulieu. I worked with her with the magazine, and we are now both, I mean, I'm just a contributing editor with Horse and Rider, and Julie works with Trafalgar Square Books.
Yep.
And she is my director of marketing, volunteer. She works cheap, so she's been a great big help for me.
Well, and Jennifer found it through Lynn Palm, too. So obviously Lynn is aware of what you're up to.
Lynn is a dear friend, and we donate ribbons to some of her events at the farm, and through which she promotes ribbon recycling. So she's a great friend, a great friend to Horse and Rider Magazine, a great friend to me personally. We just love her to death.
Well, this is great. It's ribbonrecycling.com. You can check it out. If you have some ribbons that you want to donate, head on over to the website. That's the best place to go. And, you know, help Sue help others. That's what she does over there, ribbonrecycling.com. Thank you, Sue.
All right. Thank you guys very much. Bye.
Now, Jamie, are you one of those that doesn't fill out the back of the ribbon? I always wondered how many horse girls actually fill out the back of every ribbon or are, like, really good about it. And then there's those like Jennifer who never filled out any.
You know, if I'm sitting in the car on the way home and I actually earned a ribbon, then I will try to write on the back of it, yes. But I would say that probably 75% of my ribbons don't have writings, and every once in a while they do. But again, some of us, Glenn, when you event, don't earn ribbons every single time. So it becomes less of an issue.
on trying to remember what ribbons went with what. I'm like, oh, that's the one the seventh place that I came in at so-and-so, because there's so few that I remember when I won all of them. So it's not an issue.
Gotcha. Well,
yeah.
Someday they'll just be all stacked up and you won't care anymore because you're winning so many.
Yeah. You do know that this coming weekend I will be taking Edward to its second horse trial, a second and final trial of the year.
Oh, that's this weekend coming up?
Yes, it's my birthday weekend. Birthday's on Sunday. I just want to give you the heads up because I know you won't be on Facebook. So, just a reminder.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, we're leaving on the 17th on Friday. So I actually won't be here on Friday. And then 18th and 19th, and we're coming back. So that just a friendly reminder that it is my birthday weekend and a horse trial. Chad, he's get the best of both worlds. Like, my birthday weekend is taken care of. He don't have to worry about it.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have to plan any activities. He can buy you, something at the food stand at the horse show. He's covered for a fancy dinner. He's good to go.
I mean, there's a competitor's party Saturday night. Happy birthday!
Free food. Oh, free food and alcohol. You got it made. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Where's this at?
It is at Sonoida. It's called Grass Ridge. It's the place where, and I laugh every time we go there, because it's the place where the first time I ever went there and showed you pictures, you said, oh, my God, it looks like you're eventing on the surface of the moon. It is. It's not. It's beautiful because it's different, but it is not the most luscious of places. Like, it's kind of high desert. But we went and you said it looked like I was eventing on the surface of the moon, and that was several years ago. And this is the last ever horse trial they're holding, so we had to go.
Hey, before we get to our song for the day, did you see the picture I posted? We passed this on the way back from Daytona Beach, and I posted it on my personal page. I'll have to share it over on Horses in the Morning. Did you see the picture I posted of the longest limousine I have ever seen in my life?
Oh, my gosh, that was so funny.
Oh, and I just wrote compensating with a question mark. This thing was a block long. It had three axles. It had three sets of tires in the back. And one of them was raised. So obviously they only put it down when they have fat people in the car. I don't know. But it was a long. I don't know how you'd make a turn. Well, at least it had to be 40 to 45 feet long. It was huge.
I mean, when you're driving a truck and trailer, at least that flexes in the middle. So you
articulate. Yeah. Yes. I don't know how you make a turn in this thing. I really don't.
I don't either. And weren't they getting gas? Wasn't it a gas station?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, was that a gas station? Because it probably gets 1 mile to the gallon. But
yeah.
Where we saw it was odd, too. We saw it in the Ocala National Forest. That gas station is in the middle of the Ocala National Forest, which, if anybody is familiar with this area, it's a huge forest. And it's just an odd place to see the longest limousine you've ever seen in your life was in the Ocala National Forest. Now, my brother kind of thought that it had three sets of wheels in the back because there's a hot tub back there. When they have it full of water, they use the third set, too. I don't know.
Oh, man, that's a good point, though. But you would not think that something like that would be some gas-guzzling, unenvironmentally friendly thing like that would be in a preserve, a forest preserve.
You know, the only thing that would have made it better is if there was a little two-horse trailer behind it. That would have been a great picture. It's just a little tiny two-horse. That would have been funny. I know you're not allowed. Sorry.
No, it's just I doubt that thing even has a trailer hitch. I mean, why would it? But it should. You're right.
That was funny. That was one of the things we saw. And the other thing I determined about being at Daytona Beach, and there were a ton of people. That beach, I've never seen a beach with that many people on it. It kind of reminded me of the pictures you see out of Brazil, the beaches in Brazil with crowds, is there should be, and I'm going to offend some people here, and I apologize, but there should be a regulation about who is allowed to wear bikinis, and I think I don't need to say much more about that.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway,
I can see that. You know what, though? I always thought of Daytona Beach as the capital of airbrushed T-shirts. Did you buy yourself an airbrushed T-shirt at an airbrushed T-shirt stand? Do they still have those everywhere?
Yes, they do. They still have an airbrush T-shirt. They still have a boardwalk. And, you know, there's not too many with boardwalks anymore. They still do have a boardwalk, although it's not made of wood. I guess hurricanes have taken care of that over the years that they make it and made it of concrete now. But, yeah, that was the first. Yeah, there was a lot of people there. It was the most people I've ever seen on the beach before.
Nice.
Was very, very busy. Let's do this. Let's take a break for our song. We're coming back with Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses in a few minutes. But first, we're going to hear a new song from Jared Rogerson called When Forever Is Today. Right before that, we're going to hear from one of our terrific auditors.
Hi, this is Gina Moronic from Wisconsin, and I am an official Horse Radio Network auditor, something I'm really proud to do and to be a part of in a small way, because it's something that I get a lot of information from. The Horse Radio Network and the convenience of the downloadable podcasts means that I can improve my horsemanship skills, my riding skills, or just really enjoy listening to friendly, informative programming whenever I'm driving to work or working on chores or at the barn even. So I hope you find it as enjoyable as I do. If you do, go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner to become a Horse Radio Network auditor. For as little as $1 a month, you can be involved in this great thing, too, and keep it going. Thanks.
Heaven is the rain. We'll pray for thunder clouds all day. dance in circles like two little kids. When forever is day, when forever is day, when forever.
His music at jaredrogerson.com. That's jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn McGeek here with Jamie Jennings, a very ill Jamie Jennings, but she's still here because she's a trooper. And Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. We are brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Thank you, Jennifer. I didn't realize I was on mute there.
Yeah, I was going to say, who put us on mute? Are they trying to keep us? Is she trying to keep us quiet? Don't do that.
I actually put us all on mute during the song, and because we were getting some feedback, and I forgot to take us off. So I apologize for that. That's my bad.
Great job. Great job.
My fault. I don't know how much of that you even heard, but that was Jared Rogerson. JaredRogerson.com.
And the important part here is the show is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. So thank you very much to Omega Alpha. Check them out at Omega Alpha. What's there? OmegaAlpha.ca.
OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Yes. You're good.
Yes.
It is OmegaAlphaEquine.com. You got it.
Okay.
Well, while we're waiting for Leslie to get queued up here, I had one other news story that I thought was very important and I didn't want to miss today.
Oh, God. I just. You know how upsetting it is to me that I have to look at this news story in the show notes all day?
Oh, I'm sure you're just totally upset. Well, you know, we had a news story out of Australia that some Australian veterinarians got together and did a racy calendar, and it seems like racy calendars in the horse world are becoming a thing. Oh, there's Leslie's next post. They're really becoming a thing, and there's another one out of England. I think the British are the ones who started this, actually. But there's another one out of England. This time it is a charity calendar used to raise money for an air ambulance service. Now, it has a good story behind it because a rider over there crashed and burned and had to be taken out by this air ambulance called IOW Air Ambulance. And she had to be taken to the hospital. So they all got together, all the equestrians in the area got together and decided to make this calendar. And it's called the Foxy Hunters and Riders Calendar. And they're wearing some very interesting outfits. And sometimes they're not wearing any outfits at all. And I, for the interest of the show, suffered through checking out all the pictures that the Daily Mail posted. And the one thing you can count on with the Daily Mail is they will post all the pictures. That's one good thing about the Daily Mail. And Jamie, we're getting some bad feedback from you, so I think you're going to have to give us a call back. So anyway, I took one for the team, and I checked out all the pictures that are done by this particular group in England, and I approve. I think it's the Wiltshire Air Ambulance, and there's a couple air ambulances, actually, that they're supporting with this. And get this, because of the power of the Internet, they have raised £26,000 selling these calendars so far. That's a lot of calendars. But apparently it has taken off in England, and a lot of people are buying them. And if you want to buy your own calendar, you can go to the Daily Mail. Daily Mail.co.uk had the article, and also I'm trying to think, the website was in here somewhere, and now I can't locate it. But I think it was foxycalendar.co.uk, something like that. But you
are
can
you
check
still
that
talking
out.
About this? I called back. You're still talking about it. Nobody cares except for you.
I care, and every man listening right now cares about this. I know there's only like three of us. But
two of
occasionally,
you, yeah.
Oh, it's foxyhunters.co.uk, in case you want to check it out. Foxy Hunters, yep.
Hey,
there's some good-looking hunters in England, I got to say.
Yeah, it's shocking that the girls that are almost wearing next to nothing that are super skinny and 21 years old are all attractive to you. It's shocking.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Well, that's right. It is time for Horse Nation. And, of course, we have Leslie Wiley with us every week. Good morning, Leslie.
I was just checking out this Foxy calendar.
I told you she would be. See, I'm not the only one. Ha! Take that, Jamie.
Wow.
I see a post coming up. All the half-nude or nude calendars. There's a bunch of them right now, Leslie. I think you should do an article with lots of pictures.
Noted. Now it's showing on a sticky note on my computer.
She's not confirmed. She's taken note. She has not confirmed.
Well, she's going to have to go look through all the pictures. Check out the Australian veterinary naked calendar. That one had men in it, too. So that's kind of an equal calendar there.
Fun research, at least.
Now, Glenn, before you get things started with Leslie, I have something to talk to her about, because she is not Leslie Wiley anymore, Glenn. She is officially Leslie Bateman. Congratulations, you changed your name officially.
I did. I think professionally, I think I'm still going to go, nobody has to freak out, still going by Wiley. But I did change my middle name to Wiley, so now I'm Leslie Wiley Bateman. Yeah.
And I did love the Facebook.
Oh, my God. married
go ahead.
2 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a while.
Leslie, I got to make a confession. How long have I been married? It's coming up on it'll be 5 years in the spring. Guess who hasn't changed their driver's license yet? That is me. So
you still have your maiden name on your driver's license 5 years later?
Yes.
Okay, wait a minute. Jamie, let me ask. Did you change it to an Arizona license yet, or do you still have a Georgia one?
I got an Arizona driver's license before
he
and I were married. I moved here before we were married. So I do have the correct driver's license, but the thing I do not have is a matching driver's license and social security card. So when I book a flight on an airplane, I still have to have it say Jamie Massey as opposed to Jamie Jennings. Still, it's so annoying.
It is time to probably change that.
I know, but who voluntarily goes to the DMV? My it doesn't end until like 2016 or 2032, I think, is when my license expires. So we may go then.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Nobody wants to go to the DMV.
Have you gone and changed yours yet? Leslie?
Me?
Yeah,
I went and changed it on my social security card and my driver's license, and it was a giant pain in the bottom. I had to go and get, because you have to have all this, all of your documentation. You've got to have, one, we lost our marriage certificate for several months. So that was like part of the holdup.
wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that when you're newlyweds. You're supposed to lose that when you've been married like 10 years.
Oh, not us. We can lose anything immediately. and then I went in to the DMV and only had a copy of my birth certificate, so I needed the original.
I had to
run around and go to the. It was a giant hassle. So
same thing. You had to go to the state and get the birth certificate, and the pain.
So
Yeah.
So she's now Leslie Bateman, but she actually was trying to get her husband to change his last name to Batman. Just drop the E.
How cool would that have been? We could have been awesome. Mr. and Mrs. Batman. What a missed opportunity.
I know. But I knew I really liked you. It's just, it's awesome. I love that. So, sorry
that
to interrupt you guys. Talk horses. Go for it. Sorry.
Well, I got to ask you, Leslie, about this article you had about the Equus Film Festival. I knew nothing about it. And are there enough films to be in an Equus Film Festival?
Apparently, yes. I'd gotten this press release on Thursday or Friday about a film festival in New York, the world's first equestrian film festival. And it's being held in November 21st and 22nd. And there are allegedly like 50 new films and creative works. So I think that in creative works, the umbrella also covers
YouTube
music
videos.
Yeah, music videos and commercials and that sort of thing.
So does that mean the video of the horse going into the police station that's been all over Facebook is going to be at the film festival as well?
They should have a category for best YouTube video. Best viral YouTube horse video. What video do you think would win that for this year? There's been a lot of viral horse videos.
Yeah, I got to think, maybe one of the girls who got their bridle back on, those things went crazy. There were two of those, Gina Miles and that other girl who did it first. It seems to be a thing now that everybody's losing their bridles. And what's funny is back in the old days, when Jennifer was in Pony Club, they used to braid the top of their bridle into their mane.
Yeah,
that wouldn't happen, right?
Right. That is the traditional thing to do. And I remember growing up, and we would, when we would go out for the opening hunt and have our horses' manes braided, that was always the thing to do. Braid.
Really?
Braid
I've
in.
Never
yeah.
heard of that. And I never would be able to get the bridle off.
Well, I think it only has to happen to you once. Have you ever fallen off in the bridle and taken the bridle off with you? I think that only has to happen to you once, and then you realize that you don't want it to happen again.
Gotcha.
And we'll get to a topic that's close to that in one of your other articles, but let's finish up with the film festival. So I'm seeing here some of the lineup includes American Mustang, the movie, which we've talked about here on the show. Cowgirls and Angels, I don't know much about that one. One called Flux, I have no idea what that one is. And Believe, Believe, Believe. There are horse movies coming out that I thought we talked about most horse movies, but apparently not. Now, to get 50, do you think they included any movie that included a horse?
I don't know. I don't think so. I was looking kind of down the lineup, and it looks like an awful lot of just horse-specific movies. Especially, I just had no idea how many, how many little documentaries had come out, and little film shorts, and there's a lot of it out there.
And now I have another question. Why are we doing this in New York City where they're trying to get rid of the last few remaining horses that even exist there?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Good question. Yeah, and that's something that the organizer said was that mentioned was that, so maybe this makes it make sense, but that some of the films are deal with controversial issues facing the equestrian community, wild horse roundups, horse carriage, the horse carriage issue in New York. So I don't know. Maybe there'll be wild protests outside or something. Who knows? It's New York. Anything can happen. People are bonkers.
Well, there we go. We'll keep an eye on that. Maybe, Jennifer, you can get somebody on from the Equus Film Festival when we get a little closer there in November and we can talk about it. talk about some of the movies coming up. It's equusfilmfestival.com, and you can see Leslie's article on it over at horsenation.com. Well, now, you were talking about bridles coming off. You had a great article called What Kinds of Buck Does Your Horse Have? This really did a good job of describing the different kinds of buck.
Right. Yeah, one of our writers, Kristen Kovach, sort of broke down, you know, we all know all bucks are not created equal. There are many different varieties of bucks. But she sort of broke it down into five general categories. The infamous fart buck, we've all seen or experienced that.
I love that the article says, this is a chicken and the egg kind of thing. Do they buck because they have to fart, or do they fart because they have to buck? That's pretty good.
No one will ever know.
By the way, Jamie, could you keep track as we go through these to see which ones you've ridden? And we'll see how many of the five that you have done.
Yes, and you know that I've only really had one monster bucker, and that's Jet, my training event horse, and thank God he kind of outgrew it. I'm sure it still happened every now and then, but I've definitely located the one, so we'll talk about that at the end.
All right. Number two was the buck bolter, and that's basically, you know, that bucks and then bolts, and boy, that's a pony thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's just so pony.
It's so funny.
It's like they're not content enough just to pick you off. They have to bolt, too. It's or if the buck doesn't work, I'll bolt and get you off. One way or the other, kid, you're coming off. Oh, and that gif that you have there, that little video that you have there, is just hard to watch.
Do you recognize that pony? That's Ed the Naughty Pony, the naughtiest pony of YouTube. You've seen Ed videos, right? He's so bad.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ed should win the award at the film festival.
We actually had Ed's owners on the show, so we are very familiar with
cool.
Naughty Ed. Yeah. The third one is the crow hop, and I find that, why do you think horses crow hop? Like, what I was doing was watching all these different kinds of bucks and realizing, kind of being able to watch it like this, why the horses do it. The crow hop looks like it just... You know, it actually boils down to one thing the entire time. In every buck that you have a video listed here, it literally looks like the horse just hates the rider and wants it to go away.
I always thought the crow hop was won by a bucker. You know, they really want a buck, but that's a lot of effort, so I'll just crow
hop. Yeah, it's bucking for lazy horses.
Yeah, exactly.
You know who's not lazy is the horse that you have listed as the Bronco. And clearly it is a girl cross-country schooling her horse. And this horse hates her. He is like, get away from me. He is working so hard, but looks like a bronc, a saddle bronc.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
he does look like he just came out of the gate. That one you have to wonder if there was a tack malfunction or there was a burr under the saddle. There's something going on with that one that just went wrong. Very badly.
Common Jennifer, excuse.
I had to go meet Jennifer at the hospital when she rode one of those once. She had a client that said, oh, take my horse out in the hunting field. She had just gotten to her new job. It was the first week. And what the client forgot to tell her was that the last person that rode that horse in the hunt field ended up with two broken ankles. From riding that horse. They forgot to tell her that she ended up with a broken arm. So, and they said she rode it a good full 8 to 10 seconds. Was this pretty much it, Jennifer, the Bronco there? Was that how it looked?
That was exactly it. Yeah.
Maybe that's you.
I think that might be me.
By the way, welcome to your new job.
Wow.
By the way, tomorrow with your cast on, we expect you there.
Yeah, pain meds and all. Hey, the last one, actually, Leslie, are you looking at these right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mesmerizing.
Yeah, I know it is. The last one, what do you think that horse is saying to that rider? Being that you jump, and Jennifer, you jump too, so what is that horse saying to that owner right now?
Oh, my God,
I jumped that. And it's going through like a little baby grid. It lands. Bucks are off, spins, and runs away.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you already did the hard part, buddy. Now all that's left to do is canter quietly away from the fence. But no.
that horse is saying, please tell me to somebody else who can ride.
Yeah.
No, to me it looks like the horse is saying, let go of my face. Like,
Yeah. This rider was hanging on the mouth.
A little bit, yep. Kristen's explanation for why this happens sometimes is it can either be attributed to as the horse's version of flipping off the rider, putting him in a bad spot, or maybe, you know, grabbing their face like in this gif, or his own personal jubilation at actually clearing the jump from a bad spot.
Yeah, we've all seen that. I had a horse. I was in a clinic once, and it was this. I was riding with this French guy, and my horse, bless his little heart, would land and do the oh my god, I jumped that buck, but it was cross country, so he'd just buck and keep galloping. And I'm like, why does he keep bucking after the jump? And he's like, Jimmy, your horse is an expressive rider, and he is very happy that he jumped that. And I was like, screw him. I don't want him to be happy anymore. This sucks. French.
Oh, my goodness.
So which one is Jet there, Jamie?
Jet, without a doubt, is the bucking fart, or the fart buck, as it's called. You'll be cantering along and just kaboom, super buck, always accompanied by the fart. And we call the fart Jet propulsion. That's how he keeps going. He farts when he jumps, he farts when you do transitions, he farts when he bucks, he farts all the time, and we just take call the jet propulsion. That's how his fuel exits the machine.
Well, then there was one more article, and I like this one because I just got back from the World Percheron Congress last week, and we had a blast up there, got to see 800 2,000 one-ton horses. And then you posted this article, Five Clydesdale Who Are Letting Their Feathered Freaks Fly. And one of the things they did at the World Percheron Congress was Percheron barrel racing. And apparently it was the first time they'd ever done this, and it was hilarious. If anybody got to see it on the feed, I know a lot of our listeners were watching. It was absolutely hilarious because some of these Percherons were not interested, and others were like, what is that thing on the ground? And then others really did it well. But, barrel racing, they'll come in 8, 9, 10 seconds for 12 seconds for a good barrel race. These were coming in 20, 30, 40 seconds for the barrel race. But you had the Clydesdales who were letting the feathers fly, and some really beautiful shots of Clydesdales, which are absolutely beautiful horses.
They are. And I just, we started digging around on YouTube for Clydesdale, sort of Clydesdales doing unorthodox and Clydesdale play things, and started finding these amazing videos. Like, there's this horse, Clydesdale jumping. It looks like at least a 3/6 oxer. Just no big deal. There is this crazy video, dressage video of a Clydesdale being ridden in sort of like a classical, like kind of Spanish dressage with the Spanish walk and, flinging their feet everywhere and like doing fancy dressage moves, showboating a little bit. It's amazing. And barrel racing, eventing, there's this horse that looks like he's just having so much fun on a cross-country course, raining.
Did you watch the raining?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It is, and when you're
hilarious.
Used to seeing, yeah, when you're used to seeing horses rain, and then you watch this, you're like, oh my god, he's trying so hard. That's so
cute.
Yeah,
it's kind of all in slow motion, but I'm like,
yeah.
That's still a sweating stop. That's still, he's going really slow on his, spins, but he's spinning.
He is spinning. Bless his little heart.
He didn't disturb the arena much with the sliding stop. He didn't really mess up the footing a whole lot.
It's kind of one of those horses that you say ho and they lock him up because they want to stop so bad. You're like, ho, no, go, done. Yeah.
But, you know, and of course the Clydesdales, because of their feathers, it just everything, you watch that, I was watching the dressage video, everything looks more dramatic because of the feathers. You know, the feathers flying everywhere. It does look more dramatic that way. I love Clydesdales. I love giraffe horses. They're so
they're majestic.
That's right, in a very cute pony sort of way. How is the, we got to remind everybody of the forum. Now, has Jamie signed up last week? You have a new forum on the new Horse Nation. Has she caused any trouble, and have you had to kick her out yet?
Only a couple times. I've had to, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I post about that I'm looking for a used saddle, and Leslie Wiley writes back, never going to happen. I was looking for very specific stuff. She's like, people don't sell those. Basically, suck it.
So Leslie was the negative foreign person. She was the troll.
Crushing Jamie's Devaku dreams.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm looking for a used Devaku, blah, blah, blah. Just never going to find it. People don't give those up. Go find somewhere else. Like, basically, just shut up.
But there is a new forum there, right?
Yep, there is, and people are slowly but surely checking it out and gravitating toward it. And we've got, you know, a few fun little conversations going. So, it's a good time. Come play.
Yeah, that, you know, it's hard to get a forum started because obviously forum takes people, and it's kind of a catch-22, right? But you do have some fun things started on there. I saw a conversation going on about the weirdest thing you've ever encountered on a trail ride. and you know, that had some good ones in there. And, you know, I'm amazed the number of people who come across skeletons, like bones, you know, skeletons, and animals and stuff. You probably might do that if you ride in the desert, Jamie. You probably have come across a few of those. But there's some other good conversations.
Where do you guys live? Where do you think I live?
I love the conversation that started, I didn't cry. You know, when you're on a forum and it starts off, I didn't cry, and I immediately thought, this one got bucked off, and it's a kid, and she didn't. And when I read it, it was. I got bucked off my horse. Was the first part of that one. So there are some conversations that are starting over there. Leslie's keeping an eye on it, so maybe it won't become the negative cesspool that some other forums do, except for what Leslie posts, apparently. She's allowed to post it.
No saddle for you.
Check it out, horsenation.com. Thank you, Leslie.
Sure thing. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right,
thanks.
We'll see you. That's funny. Well,
I forgot about that. I forgot about the. Now I'm getting back on here. I'm going to start all sorts of trouble.
She knows who you are, you know. She knows.
I know. I need a pseudonym. I need a pen name. A nom de plume for the Equestrians Anonymous.
Hey, you got something in the mail that you're very excited about.
I did. I got my tickets to the Breeders' Cup. I'm so excited. And it just basically was confirmed that Wise Dan is going to be running in the Breeders' Cup mile again. So he's going for three in a row. Huh?
Oh, cool. Do we know how it's stacking up? Or do we have final confirmations on the horses in different races or not yet?
No. Pretty much all the horses that are going to be there have already won, but they haven't really started putting a list together. You know, they've won their way in or they've already been nominated. So they're going to start putting the races together, I would imagine, in the next week or so. So we should be able to let you guys know. But the tickets actually are like really pieces of hard plastic. They're so cool. You can save them forever. They're not paper. They don't get torn off. They're pieces of hard plastic. I had to sign for the delivery. And so it's like Breeders' Cup on the envelope. And then you realize that even through all of this security to get my tickets, they're like the cheapest tickets and they're the farthest away from anything that, I hope I'm able to see the track from my seats. That's how far away my seats are because the tickets are so expensive. It's $50 a ticket for the crap seats on Saturday. So that's what we went with, the crappy seat.
And it'll be $50 for parking and, all that other stuff, too. You're going to have to make sure Chad brings home a couple pair of good binoculars from work because you might need those.
Oh, good idea. Good idea. Yeah, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law live in Los Angeles, and so we get to stay with them. And they've never been to a horse race, much less Santa Anita, which is 40 minutes away from their house. So they're going to come with us. They're going to the racetrack for their first time ever on Breeders' Cup. Like, that just doesn't seem fair. I don't want to. It's like it's never going to measure up again, or they won't really appreciate how amazing it is.
Or
and
there'll
then
be so many people
back
there. They'll be going, "No, this is horrible."
Yeah,
one
this
or the
is
other.
Horrible. Go to Santa Anita on a Tuesday. You'll go right up to the rail, you know. But yeah, it's going to be awesome, and I can't wait to kind of see what they think about it. I do have to do some shopping. I'm going to be in California at Santa Anita Breeders' Cup. What do I wear?
I know. Do you have a fascinator or a hat? See, when I was with Wendy earlier in the week, we were hanging out together for a couple of days at the World Percheron Congress, and I talked to her. She knew you were going to the Breeders' Cup, and her first question was, does she have a fascinator or a hat?
I don't. Okay, I'm on Amazon right now looking for fascinators.
I don't think that's where you're going to find a good hat or fascinator is Amazon.com.
Oh, there's a fascinator for $8.99. Done. Sold. Just kidding.
I'll send you the link to the hat store where Wendy buys all of her hats.
Oh, yes. All please right. do. Please.
Yeah.
I need
now,
a hat.
You're going to have $300 or $400, but, you know, what the heck. It's all for fashion, baby. It's important.
Dude, I am not spending more on a freaking hat than I did my ticket. Like, I could. No. I can't do it. God,
okay, then your other option is to wear your Horse Radio Network baseball hat and advertise for us while you're there, because I'm sure you're going to get on TV.
I actually need a new one. That thing is so sweaty and gross. I wear it all the time. It's disgusting.
Time to send you a new one?
Yeah. Maybe if you send me a new shiny new one. Actually, if you could put the Horse Radio Network logo on a fascinator, which I need to buy my fascinator after I find my dress because it has to match. It's easier to find a hat to match the dress, or is it easier to find a dress to match the hat? I don't know. I got to get shoes. Holy crap, I got a lot to do and not a lot of time. Only got 2 weeks.
You could always do what a lot of people do at these horse events and make their own hat. They just buy the basic big floppy hat at Walmart, and then they put all the decorations on. You could have a craft night with your sister-in-law.
I could glue like my cigar briar to the top of a hat and have a cigar fascinator. Oh, my God.
You could.
Oh, my God.
You could.
Let's do it. Zenyatta fascinators for everyone.
You could take your little briar railing and stuff, and you could make a little racetrack around the hat.
That would require being crafty, but I like where you're going. I like where you're going. I don't have those skills, though, but that's awesome. Good idea. All right, I better get shopping. Let's go. I got to go.
All right. You got to go. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back. Tomorrow is our Endurance Day. Karen Chatton will be here talking all about the sport of endurance. And then Wednesday, we'll be back with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. Now, this week on Friday, we all have off. We have some friends coming into town. Jamie's heading out of town, so we decided to do a best of that day. So we will have a best of for you on Friday. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld. Go shopping. If you find nice hats, send me the link.